You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God.
Let us pray. O beloved one, in and through whom we have our very being, we are so grateful for our awareness of who we truly are. We are both fully human and fully divine. Sometimes we forget that God is living through us and as us. We lose our way. We get caught up in our shadow self. We become afraid of all the changes in our life. We don't want to change. We don't want to transform. And then we come into community and we remember who we are. We remember to live in the present moment, praying unceasingly. We remember. We remember that death is part of life. Failure is part of success. Vulnerability is part of strength. Everything belongs. Now we remember that God is living through us and as us. We let go, surrender, and let the river of life take us. We remember the admonition to not be afraid. We remember who we truly are. We are so grateful for the courage to live in this sacred space of openness and transformation, for the love of each other, for the oneness that sustains us. We are living in the river of life and are grateful for the continual transformation into the greatest love that we can be. And so it is. Amen.
Now, today's guest speaker.
It is truly an honor to be here with you and sharing from my experience. The picture that you see behind me is from our beloved Balsa State Beach, a sunrise. And I can't think of anything that is more a image of the return to the sacred than the sun coming up in the morning. For it is that very essence of life itself that greets us, whether we want it to or not. Sometimes we may be a little irritated by the fact that it's here again, but always with a tremendous amount of love, it greets the day. It nurtures all the plants and everything that grows. It gives us life. And in some respects, we could say we literally owe life itself to the gift from the sun. Now, before we get too far back into pagan history, let's understand that we are all connected. It is all connected. And as we look at our life and what's going on in our world these days, it's really easy to become distracted into thinking that which is sacred has gone far, far away. I mean, we can remember a day, at least I can remember days, and I know some many of you can, where your word was your bond. The idea of not telling the truth was inconceivable. You just wouldn't do it. Honoring people that were in your presence, that you recognized as having some form of knowledge or advance, you honored them. Whether you agreed with them or not, didn't matter. You honored them. We're not there today. Have you noticed? And you know, as we work with that idea, as we realize that things are not the way they've been in the past or the way we'd really like them to be, perhaps, often it's it's kind of disconcerting to us. We kind of churn with that idea. And we want things to be different. You know, as we talk about the times of the past, and I can remember the times of the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. It was in the 90s that Dr. Lou Childer came up with his concept of heart math. And some of you may know a little bit about it, and you know, you hear the idea heart math. How does that go together? I mean, heart is kind of soft and squishy and all full of feelings, and math is very structured and very scientific. And what Doc did was blend these two things together in such a beautiful way. You have available to you through your heart, and so much of what we've been all about this morning is about the heart. If you want to journey to the sacred, the easiest place to find it is your heart. Now, I'm not talking about the blood pump that, although that's incredibly important to our survival and our being here on the planet, I'm talking about all that it represents, the energy process and the energy pattern. Years ago, as we would talk about this sort of thing, we talk about living as a spiritual being in a spiritual universe that was governed and controlled by spiritual law. Anybody remember that affirmation? I see a few heads going. Now, today, we would say it a little differently. I live in an energy universe that is controlled by a greater power, and I'm having a human experience within that energy. Saying the same exact thing. But today, what we have is scientific, peer-reviewed scientific information that supports what I've just said. Now, the Eastern philosophy has always brought to us the richness of the path of the heart, understanding the feelings. And for us guys, you know, that's always been a tough sell. You know, that if we tried to get into really touching into those feelings and understanding what they were, then a lot of our friends would kind of look at us and say, yeah, right. And as we were trying to get connected with them, we didn't have a lot of folks we could talk to about it, so we couldn't really begin to understand what they were, how they worked, how they related. The women in our lives. Thank heavens for their having the ability to touch into those feelings, to understand them. And over the years, they've done their very best to help us guys. Sometimes we've understood, sometimes we haven't, sometimes we've resisted. But they have helped us understand the power of what our feelings are and how that begins to work and to move. As we are understanding through science now, and most of the guys are probably more scientific evidence-based in their thinking, we're getting more and more evidence that is documented through different studies by different people. It's not all coming from one place, that are showing that there is such a powerful connection between how we feel about things and how we think about things. And even to this end, it's kind of like a circle. And check me on this if this isn't the way it works for you. You have a feeling about something, and that triggers a thought, right? And then the thought triggers a feeling about the thought that you just had. True? Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. Then it triggers another thought, another feeling, another thought, another feeling, and we kind of get into a circle sometimes. Now, if that thought is about how much we love the spouse or the girlfriend or boyfriend or the significant other in our life, then that's great because it kind of builds and builds and builds and builds. Sometimes the point is almost beyond what we can handle. But suppose instead of it being a positive thought like that, it's something that is less positive. That same process works. And it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds. And science is telling us now that there's a real connection between how that works. The idea that we are in touch with the sacred within ourselves. We're in touch with our heart. It pays off dividends in our health. It pays off dividends in our emotions. It pays off in dividends in every part of our lives. And on the other side of it, when we get stuck in that other cycle, it does just the reverse. And this is not just me standing up here as a mystic that has found new science. It is the reports throughout the medical science. Doctors are saying now that over 90% of the people that come into their office, stress and the dealing with stress is a key part of why they're there. Just think of what that could do to our medical system. If we learned how to deal with the stress in our lives, we could revolutionize medical health. We could live happier, stronger, longer. And it's by going to that sacred place within, by simply doing that, by simply being in touch with and living from the place that our heart takes us. Now, it's really easy for us to think about who we are and think about our lives and all that's going on in our experience and kind of get sidetracked into thinking that's the box that we have to live in, that that's the way it has to be. And most of what is in that collection of thoughts about who we are and how we have to do it is something that has been told to us by someone that we respected. Is that true for you? That it's stuff that's been handed to you. A very small portion of it is stuff that you have created for yourself. Again, the science tells us that 95% of what we think about every single day is driven by that box, by our subconscious. It's what we've been told, what we've understood to be true, and what we've hoped to be true. That other 5%, that little tiny bit that's left, is that creative thought that you have, that creative ability to use really the brain the way it was created for you to use. Most of what we do is driven by our subconscious, the things that we've been taught over the years. So as a result, we often live our lives kind of from the inside out, that we're not really living who we truly are. We're thinking either about our body, and we're liking or not liking it, and usually not liking something about it. Is that reasonable to say? We're thinking about our environment. What's going on in our world around us? What's going on in the room? It's too hot. It's too cold. That whatever is going on, we're thinking about that. Anybody thinking about the temperature in the room today? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. So we're thinking about our body. We're thinking about our environment. What's left? Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Time. We're thinking about time. I'm looking at time here. I got to be on time. I'm worried about whether I'm going to arrive where I'm going to go. Am I going to be on time? What happens if I'm not on time? All of those are the things that we're thinking about as we go along. So our body, our environment, and our time. And all of that stuff is programmed into us, leaving us a simple 5% of our time to be in touch with the divine within us, to be in touch with the spirit, to go there. So when you take that time, that is perhaps some of the most precious time that you have during the day. The journey within, the journey back to the sacred. It's probably the shortest journey that you'll ever have to take. And I'll tell you more about that in a moment. Anybody been wondering about this? Well, contrary to the thought that I just didn't do the laundry very well or didn't manage it, this sock, it's kind of the way, you know, us guys find socks in our sock drawer that are like this a lot, right? They're inside out. But this is the way a lot of us live our lives. That the real self, the divine self, the part of us that is so beautiful, so soft, so wonderful, so open, so connected with the divine that is within us. We don't see that. We see the rough, frayed edges that life has created, or so we think life has created for us. So what is the solution to this? You guys that have found these in your sock drawer, what have you done? How did you solve the problem? Yeah, you turn it inside out. But what you do in that process is you go deep within the sock. You go as far into that sock as you can go. You grab something that is at the core of that, and then you begin to pull it out. And in that process, you turn it inside out. So that's, in a sense, what I'm asking you to do with your life, is to reach into the very depth of your being, find that core of the very special essence of you, and take a hold of it. Take a hold of it with a certainty, with a willingness to not let go. And draw that back out and into your expression. Turning the way you present yourself to the world inside out. How's that for a radical idea? Well, with any change, whether it's a radical idea like that or a very simple one, our first response generally is fear and resistance. Oh, what's the world going to think? How are people around me going to treat me? How am I going to deal if I show up like this instead of that ragged, not together, messed up kind of person that they know me as? What's going to happen to our dynamic of our relationship? You know, I'm not going to fit into where they need me in their circle, in their box, the way I used to. What is that going to do? Can I survive that? You know, these are all the things that are going on, you know, again, parting out of our subconscious. We're remembering times in the past when we tried to do something like this, and it was a disaster. Anybody connect with that? You know, trying to really let the essence of who you are be out and be seen, and it didn't go well? Or am I the only one that had that kind of experience? Yeah, no, we all do. Some of the times we see it clearly. Some of the times we don't understand what happened. We just know, oh, that doesn't feel so good. And so I don't think I'll do that again. But rather than going in and saying, well, next time let me do it a little bit different. Let me try it a little bit differently. Instead of just taking it out and waving it up like this and so everybody sees it, I'll just bring it out and I'll just set it down here very nice and quiet. I won't make a big deal about it or whatever. The idea is, when we want to make a change, a significant change, it's often very challenging. And our first response is, I don't think I'll do it. It's like, sounds like a good idea, but I'm not going to do it. If you're willing, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment, but if you're willing to do this, you will be making a profound difference, not only in your life, but in our world. When you sat down, or we went into our meditation this morning, you were one person. You were here with a sum total of all that's been going on in your life this morning, the things that have made you happy and the things that have been less than that. You went through a time of taking charge of your breath, focusing on your heart, feeling a positive emotion. And as a result of that, the person that is sitting here looking back at me now is not the same person that sat down. You're a different person. Now, you may feel that to varying degrees, but that's the absolute truth about who you are. You have made a significant shift by doing something as simple as focusing on your heart, taking charge of your breathing, and then focusing on a positive emotion, a renewing emotion, like gratitude, like care, like compassion. So these are things that you can do very simply, very easy. It doesn't take a degree in some kind of scientific engineering. It's something you can do just every moment. And where does it take you? That simple process takes you to the sacred. The sacred that is within you, always available. You know, is there any time your heart says to you, I'm busy right now, don't bother me? When you choose to take charge of your breath, does it ever say back to you, later? No. They're totally under your control. The trickier one is having the positive feeling, because we haven't been under the understanding that we can do that, and we can do it on a regular basis. This next year before us, we've heard a little bit about some of the things that are in the flow. This next year before us is a very powerful year. If you look at it from the point of view of the Tibetan numerology, 2018 resolves to an 11. An 11 is a master number. And without getting too far into that whole process, a master number is a very significant number in their understanding. That is a number that represents something that is very powerful that's going to be happening. Well, do any of you have any doubts about the fact that we're ripe for some pretty powerful changes? I mean, we look around and we see the chaos that is in so many areas of our life and our experience. And I want to bring you to the idea of a boiling pan of water. Ever watch a pot of water boil? I know we all have. We think somehow it'll be faster, but it never is. But as you're watching that boil, that the water is kind of beginning to churn. It's getting more and more active as more and more heat is being put on. You know, as we look at our world and what's going on in our experience right now, more and more heat's getting put on by all kinds of different voices. We're seeing it in what's coming out in terms of sexual behavior amongst members of the community. We're seeing it in terms of people telling the truth or not telling the truth. People believing that they can do different kinds of things than what the norms that we've grown up with say is good and right. So the heat's going on, And as a result, as you're watching that water, it begins to bubble a little bit. Things begin to happen. We're seeing that, things beginning to happen. But as the water keeps getting heat added to it, what finally happens? The molecules escape and they change form. They change from a liquid to a gas. That's pretty amazing. That's a whole new way. I mean, think about it. If you were a molecule of water and you got agitated and you wanted it to quit, and then all of a sudden, you become now a gas. You float up out of the pan of hot water, and you're floating around, and it's a whole different view. That's where we are. That's what we're facing. That's the opportunity. That's the threshold that we stand upon as we have the willingness to participate. Now, as you watch that pan of water boil, some of them are up and gone real quick. Others wait until it's down to the very end of the pan, and pan's about to burn before they take off. Where are you going to be in that? Okay? You want to scorch the pan? Or do you want to go ahead and be a part of that movement into that newer sense? Now, we look at all that's going on. And we see there's a lot of fight, I guess, if you will, on one side of the issue. Not much on the other. We've learned some things about war as we go over the years. And it used to be that when a community or a group of people didn't like what was going on around them, they would gather weapons of different sorts, and they would go against those who they thought were standing in their way and would be destructive in the process. We can go back through the history of any of the wars you want to go through, and you'll see the process. But what went on that they may not have realized at the time, in fact, they didn't realize at the time, is that if you go through any community and you wipe out the elders in the community, and what's left is the young men without having somebody who they can talk and get wisdom from, they grow up and they're angry about the people that did this to them. And so what are they going to do? They're going to fight back. There's going to be another war. And they're going to be justified. And they do the same thing again. And then that group comes back. And so, remember, we talked about a cycle around and around and around. We've come to the age where now we're seeing that that's not the way to do it. And we're seeing the stuff that's going on that we don't like going on. But then we're puzzled by the fact that there's not another opposing force that's coming up to take on and do battle with those that we don't like. And some of us look at it and say, I don't understand this. I don't understand what's going on. Well, what's going on is something that's so powerful and so beautiful. is that we have moved in our evolution as a consciousness, as a people, to the point where the light and the love in the hearts of people is stronger and more powerful than the energy of those who want to do harm to people. That's where we are. We're seeing it, and what we're seeing is because the negative approach has ruled the world for a very, very long time. And that energy is realizing, wait a minute, we're losing our control. And so they're literally throwing everything against the wall that it can to convince us that we need to be afraid. As things unfold over the next while, months, weeks, years, decades, time is an illusion anyway. Fear and being afraid of what we see and what we experience is the most damaging thing we can do. It's critically important, particularly in this year of the master number, that we don't let ourselves succumb to fear. That we instead go to that sacred place within us by something as simple as just taking a slow, gentle, deep breath, focusing on your heart, and connecting a positive emotion to it. It's amazing what you can do if you're watching a news program and you do that while you're watching it. It's absolutely amazing. You're still seeing the same news, you're still hearing the same words, but you're feeling way different about it. Now, I'm not saying that you think, oh, this is wonderful, this is happening, I'm so joyous that, you know, these people are doing and saying these things. No, that's not what I'm saying. That you maintain the calm peace of your soul. You maintain yourself of being in a state of what is known as coherence, where your system is working in a way that serves you, that loves you, that gives you what you need when your family, your loved ones come into your presence and need your assistance, need your help. Now, we've all been times when we've been in that crux of fight and fear. Is that true? We've all felt that. If you could feel like that, or on the other hand, you could feel in touch with your divinity, the sacredness of you, and be operating from the point of that sacredness, do I even have to ask you which you'd rather be? And it's as simple as remembering who you are. You are sacred. You have always been sacred. You can never be anything less than sacred. So the journey to the sacred is simply remembering who you are and turning your socks inside out.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.